Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody to the City Committee of the Whole meeting. I am Dorothy Flanagan. I will be chairing the meeting. I am the alderman along with Alderman Ron Singer of the 4th Ward. And I just want to remind all the council members to turn on their mics. Okay, see that everyone is present except for Alderman Kilburg. Second item on the agenda would be consider the consent agenda, which is the only thing we have on there is approve the minutes for March 11th, 2013.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Hill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record show that it's unanimous. Item number 4A, recommend approval of a request by Geneva Lions to solicit donations on May 3rd, 4th of this year for Diabetes Awareness Days. Do I hear a motion?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Alderman Cummings, seconded by Alderman Marks. Any questions? Comments, anything, any questions from the audience? I don't think I see anybody from the Lions, do I?
Scott?
Oh, do you want to say anything about the
diabetes thing?
Yes.
Well, diabetes is the number one cause of, one of the number one causes of blindness, so the reason that's part of the Lions' work is to try and improve everything we can for cures for eyesight, not only here but around the world, internationally, water for young children, and diabetes is one of the big projects that in their research shows a lot of promise to take care of that. So this will help us in raising money. 100% of it goes to the Diabetes Association. We don't keep anything. So thank you for giving us the ability to be on the streets, and all our members will be out there, men and women, collecting on those days.
Thank you, Mr. Levin. And it also is very close to my heart. My brother has been a type 1 diabetic for 58 years and still has his eyesight and still has his limbs, so everybody who takes care of themselves can actually live a long life having diabetes. So, so there's a motion on the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Let the record show that that's unanimous. Item B is recommend approval of a request for Geneva Kiwanis Club to hold a soapbox derby, and also it has a related street closure use of city services for June 22nd, which is a Saturday of this year.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Hill, seconded by Alderman Marks. Do we have any questions from the dais? Is there any comments that I see there are several people in the audience that may want to speak to the derby, Stan, and maybe Mr. Richard Foster would like to say something on behalf of the derby? I know there were some items in the packet that we had privy to that had some questions, and I think they were all answered, but...
This would be an official All-American Soapbox Derby race that we would be hosting on June 22nd. And it would be for boys and girls between the ages of 7 and 13. And the winner of our race will go on to compete in Akron, Ohio, along with 400 to 500 kids for the title of the World Championship race, which is
Could you state, does he have to state his name? And state your name and address.
My name is Stan Eichelhart. I live at 1530 Fairway Circle in Geneva. And I'm the race director for the All-American Soapbox Derby with Geneva Kiwanis Club.
Sorry for interrupting you, but that's I wanted to make sure we put that on the minutes.
So, okay.
Thanks. Go ahead.
This would be a great event for the kids here in Geneva as well, all the kids from Kane County and in the surrounding area for Geneva. And I've been doing this for a number of years with my kids. I have my grandson here. And it's just a great event for the kids.
Thank you.
Any questions or?
Is this for the surrounding region then? How does this work? Is it a regional event?
This, well, what we would be hosting would be the local race, and our our race would be sanctioned to All American Soul Bikes Derby, and our race area is going to be King County. So the kids from King, only the kids from King County will be able to participate in this race. Kids from DuPage County or the surrounding counties cannot participate in this race. It's going to be only the kids from King County.
We're going to focus our efforts on Geneva mainly, and we may, it may draw from other places. We can't close it to residents of St. Charles or Elburn, but most of the attempt for marketing and for public information and knowledge will be for Geneva.
And Mr. Foster, you're part of the Kiwanis?
I am the president of the Kiwanis Club this year.
And can you state your address?
My address is 6N421 Illinois, Route 31.
Okay, thank you.
And then we have to apply for a licensing franchise fee through All American Soul Bikes Derby. I'm actually the race director for Greater Chicago Soul Bikes Derby. We run our races outside of King County, so I've already gotten all that paperwork taken care of. I've talked to all the people in Akron, Ohio, and they're really excited about us coming on board and sending a champ from Geneva to Akron, Ohio.
The champ from King County. We welcome all King County residents to come to Geneva and race their slope boxes.
I do see a question from Alderman Maladra.
Oh, it's not so much a question for you guys, and I don't question your event at all. It sounds like a great event. My concern, though, falls in the category of street closures as opposed to events. I'm starting to get concerned, or I've heard concerns from some businesses in the Fifth Ward, that the number of street closures that affect parking in the downtown is starting to be a problem for their businesses. I talked to staff about this a little bit at the end of last year, and now here we have a new event cropping up, and it's going to knock out 26 parking spaces for a Saturday during Swedish days. So although I support the event and I say let's have it this year, I would like to suggest a couple of things. One, if we have it again in a subsequent year and it proves problematic because of Swedish days, I would suggest a different point in time. It's always good to attract people to the downtown, but if we've already got a saturated downtown because of an event that's already popular, I don't see the benefit. But if we pick a weekend when there is no event going on, then we get more people coming during the summer. And the second thing I would like to see is to have a policy discussion about street closures. I know that personally I like to say, oh, you know, I'm just hearing from one business or two businesses and they're just complaining a little bit. But if we take it to the extreme and we have an event every single weekend and every event costs them thousands of dollars over the summer, that starts to be prohibitively expensive. It becomes quite a burden. So I think that as a council, we need to decide on what our policy is as far as street closures, particularly those that affect parking. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? I understand the situation for the businesses, but it's difficult to kind of please the businesses and yet do community. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's really difficult. Alderman Cummings?
I too am a little bit worried about the lack of parking after the parking places spots get taken and the roads get closed. I think we need community events in Geneva. If we were to have no community events, we would have no community. And if we have all community events, we'd have maybe no business owners. And so somewhere in between that is this tipping point. And my worry is that we're at that tipping point right now. I don't know what the incremental increase is going to be in draw to Geneva, population-wise, for the race. And with whatever incremental increase that is, I'm not sure that the cost to the retailers justifies bringing those extra people in. Alderman Maladra recommended or mentioned maybe having it on another date, street closures on another date. I'm not even in favor of that. I'm really beginning to worry about the viability of businesses if we keep closing streets and taking parking away, especially during Swedish days. I could imagine something like this on Stevens. You have a slight drop in elevation moving from west to east, and it would affect retailers less. But I can't, even in year one, I can't support additional road closure and parking, taking away parking spaces during the busiest time. There's constant complaints about parking for Swedish Days attendees. And as fun as this sounds, I think we're beyond this tipping point, and I can't support it.
Anyone else from the dais? Any other questions? Anybody from the audience that has any questions regarding this?
I'm sorry.
Jean, I can't see you, so would you like to come up to the podium, please? Thank you.
Jean Gaines, Geneva Chamber of Commerce, 8 South 3rd Street. I think it's appropriate that we make a few comments at this time when we're starting to talk about how to limit events. First and foremost, our goal is to bring people to Geneva to shop and dine. And one of the best vehicles for that is the festival event. Geneva festivals are challenged every year to introduce something new. People expect traditional favorites, but they look forward to change. Each year we do an inventory to decide if the event is still working or if it needs a redo or simply needs to be dropped from the lineup. We call it the "if the horse is dead, get off" survey. Didn't get a laugh?
Uh-huh. That's been used before.
Radecki always said, if the horse is dead, dismount.
Dismount.
Okay. Yeah, he did.
Adding something new is very important to keep our market share. And there are many festivals to choose from, so we do have to stay competitive. Certainly, the media is more likely to write about something new, and that PR is obviously very important to our efforts. We know each festival brings a different flavor and favor some businesses more than others. Often we have a business who wants something in front of their store, and then on the reverse, we have somebody who says, don't put it in front of my store. So we really can't please everyone, but we do know the economic benefits reward everyone eventually. The Soapbox Derby organizers did everything right. They met with us to make certain the event fit our goals, and they met with city departments to get approval. And they felt they had completed their task of duties, and they were ready to move forward. We feel the event is a good family activity, and what could be more American than the Soapbox Derby? It is an advantage to the organizers who are Geneva residents and a local charitable club to join forces with us because we have the publicity that we're able to provide. I think another site could be considered maybe next year, but these people began several months ago, so now at the 11th hour, it's sort of hard to ask them to start all over again. You know, it's really great to know that our festivals aren't so important to the businesses. You know, that's one of the things they're saying. It's so busy during Swedish Days, they can't give up parking. But in order to ensure that we keep bringing people to Geneva, we have to keep introducing something new, innovative, and fun for families to keep our market share. And this just seems such a good fit for us. It's a one-day event. It's on 2nd Street. We're not closing more of 3rd. We would love to close State Street, but that will never happen, I suppose. So we are really limited, and that's what our challenge always is, that we are real estate limited with this festival. So I'm asking you maybe to give them a try this year. I'm sure they would work with us and with the city next year to find another location. I'm sorry to say we'll be back to you again to bring more new events in, have to keep alive.
What are we replacing with this event?
Well, last year we dropped several things. We dropped the pep parade. We eliminated the craft show. What else did we eliminate last year?
Those are two large areas.
We keep the things that are really working well and drop the things that are no longer popular. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Alderman Singer.
Yeah, thank you. Jean, how is this program decided as to the location? In looking at there are statements here by some individuals who say, yes, they feel they're comfortable with the location. Others are saying, no, they don't feel comfortable. I mean, who then makes the decision that you'll continue on with the event?
Well, eventually you do, because you're approving the state the street closures. When we first met with them maybe 4 months ago, maybe a little more, we asked them to look at sites, because I'm not an expert on soapbox derbies. I would have thought they needed a big hill, so we were talking about a lot of locations. And Stan, who understands the race itself and has organized this in many other locations, said, no, it needs to be a more gentle incline. Is that incline or decline?
Incline.
And Second Street just still seemed to be part of the festival, part of the flavor. People could be walking around, still eating, still shopping, watching a little bit of this. Parents who bring their kids to this soapbox derby between races, I would guess they're running around getting coffee and something to drink and maybe going to the carnival, staying for some entertainment. So it brings that family element into the town to have something to do. Somebody said the other day we're really in the show business, and we really are when we're talking about a festival.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
You're welcome. Anything else? Anybody has any other questions or comments? Mr. Scott Lieben again.
Scott Lieben, 10 Bedford Lane, Chairman of the Board of the Chamber. And as a committee, we decide, too, in looking at what the alternatives are for us. And one of the big problems we have now with an event like almost all of the events we're doing, we're very much landlocked. There isn't a lot of space to choose from. And when you look at something like Swedish Days, where major corners are taken up by booths or other people in town, there are a few areas that are available, and we really want to keep it very energetic on 3rd Street, mainly for the shops. And this is a limited amount of time, and we figured it was a great time to do it because we already have some sort of inconvenience in town during Swedish Days, rather than pick another weekend where maybe it would introduce inconvenience when it didn't, would be more uncomfortable. It's like adding another weekend to it. So we look for also things that will involve children in getting rid of the pet parade. We are very thankful to have somebody else that gets children downtown, citizens of Geneva downtown. Sometimes they don't come the rest of the year, and our goal is one of getting people into the stores and shops is to make sure we have events that bring Genevans into the city. So I think the fact that this is not like the bicycle race that had people from the outside come in, run it, take the money, and leave the community. These are people that will shop, will come back downtown. And so we just thought from that standpoint it's a very viable thing, because the citizens are coming to us and saying we'd like to have this as part of the festival.
And as I understand it, I think all the residents on that street, on 2nd Street, there was no objection as far as I read in our packet.
Yeah, and I think one of the issues that we deal with, and that, of course, you have to deal with, and we're sensitive to it, is there will always be some people that are for things, and we're always going to have some people that are against it. And we try and weigh what's the best for the majority of people, and where do we sense the majority of people would stand in relation to what we're doing. Because, unfortunately, there are always people that will look at their own little niche, and it will affect them, and we're sensitive to that. But sometimes on events like this, we have to look beyond that, because we in our hearts know it will bring other people back to the shops later on.
Thank you. Mrs. DeVita, did you have anything that you wanted to?
I have a follow-up.
Yes, Alderman Malaja.
So for Don and for Scott, my suggestion about a weekend other than Swedish Days was prompted by what I read in the packet about perhaps the event organizers and participants could park at the train station lots or a remote lot. And my thinking is that during our festival, those lots are out of commission. They're already full. If we picked another weekend, then we would have a place for the event participants to park without adversely impacting the parking used by, regular day-to-day business customers. I don't know if there's any logic to that or not. That's just what prompted the shift in time. I like Don's idea about a shift in location, and this came up too. Swedish Days doesn't have to stop at Route 38. If we go north of Route 38, there's businesses over there that might benefit from the additional foot traffic as well. So all I'm looking for is a good, healthy discussion about sort of, I hate the phrase thinking outside the box, but if you consider a box being Third Street where it dead ends into State Street in those two blocks, let's go outside of that box in terms of both time and space.
Thank you. Yes, Alderman Cummings.
I had one more comment, and I do understand that some businesses will favor things and some won't. It looks as if we go ahead and do a survey involving the businesses, and we had 12 or 13 or 14 come back and say that they object to this, and 7 or 8 in favor of it. And I have to wonder, why are we doing this if we're not listening to the businesses?
It is a good point.
Go ahead.
We did go out of our way to poll the business originally, and all the businesses that objected originally had said yes, and they were in the Berry House. They said that normally the regulars don't come in on those days during Swedish days anyway. They stay away because of the crowds at large. And then we got like a change of mind several days later. We provided a letter with fax numbers. The Lutheran Church supported it as the pastor. They're most closely affected because they back up to Second Street. They said that would be fine, and we offered to work an accommodation to help get more people into their pancake breakfast in the morning. And we would do the same for the Berry House to let people know that this is up there to send more people up the road from Second and to help push people that way. But those businesses, Mr. Cummings, were primarily in that one building, and somebody changed their mind and more or less made a groundswell of change for that location. It wasn't businesses all over town. It was one particular location, and they had some kind of meeting and changed their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Who would it hurt if we moved this to Stevens? And I'm using Stevens as an example. If we relocated, who would it hurt? I would imagine it might hurt the energy level of the race itself. It might be less energetic. There may be fewer crowds. But I don't think that we would create additional parking problems, and I don't think we would hurt any retailers by relocating this.
Correct.
So, in other words, any time I see something where there's potential upside and no downside, I tend to lean in that direction.
Well, Stan can speak to that. We studied several streets in the area for the pitch and location, and talked to the fire department, police department regarding that, and the location, also to the Chamber of Commerce for keeping more people down in the festival area.
Right. I understand the upside of that. Understand that.
Ask me that question again. I'm sorry.
Who would it hurt if this were to get relocated? In other words, right now, where it's located seems to injure some of the retailers. It may or may not, but they do think that it'll get that
right.
They'll be adversely affected by it. But if it were relocated to somewhere like Stevens, what would the downside be?
The downside there?
There's always a downside, I think.
I've been doing this for a number of years. I've been to a lot of races. Generally, what people do who've never been to a race before is they come watch the Soapbox Derby race for 30 minutes to an hour, and then they're done watching. The dads and the kids will stay longer than the mom. And what I see happening is that the family's going to come there, and the dad's going to stay there with the kids, and the mom's going to want to go shopping. And if the dad says to the wife or whoever, you know, that likes to do the shopping in that family, we're going to go to this on Second Street, which is right next to Third Street, I think it's going to draw a lot more people to that area as opposed to over on Stevens. But I've done this a lot, and that is what happens. We just ran an event with Greater Chicago at the Charlestown Mall, and I had so many dads bring their wives to that. because the wives knew that they were going to go shopping in that mall. And I would see all the dads and the moms show up in the morning. I didn't see the moms until the end of the day. So that's what I see happening, is that some of those kids are going to end up going shopping while the dad's right there in that area. And it's also our goal to work with our racers, with the families, to relocate them so they're not parking in those prime parking spaces. Even our people that are going to be running the event, they're not going to be parking in that immediate area. We're going to be parking further away because we know that those are vital spaces. And I don't want to see the Soapbox Derby people taking up those spaces because I know it's going to draw complaints from that happening. And also, just to go back on what I said a little bit ago about Kane County, this race would be called the Geneva All-American Soapbox Derby Race. Every kid that races in this race on his car will say Geneva. So people that see this event on the kids' cars, they're going to know that this is a Geneva-only race. Nobody else in Kane County can hold an All-American Soapbox Derby race. Once we obtain this licensing fee, it's ours for Kane County. Nobody else is going to come in and take that away from us. So does that help answer your question?
It does, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Can Ellen speak first?
I just wanted a point of clarification. You asked about the number of businesses. Mm-hmm. Whenever we've had a street closure for the past 2 years, the procedure we've done is we've asked everyone on that street. But because this was Second Street, you know, the first comment was go to the residents, and then I asked the organizers to go to the church because of the pancake breakfast, and because I knew the Berry House had voiced concern over the bike race, I had them talk to the Berry House. I did not ask them to go up and down Third Street. So to look at raw numbers, it's a skewed survey. I only asked them to go along Franklin. Just wanted to point that out. Okay.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you. Yes, Mr.
Just a real brief comment, just because I see that there certainly a lot of the businesses, when they come to town, they do know that we have four major festivals in town that do use the streets, and to some degree it's flexible, but from year to year we've had a lot of experience with trying to move stuff off of Third Street to the old office supply parking lot, and we know our experience has been that when we do that, the people that are doing the event are there and nobody else shows up because the major activity is on Third Street. So when you have something even like the children with the pep, we really like it to seem like a festival, and for festival atmosphere, it tends to focus it on the blocks in Third Street, which is where the shops are too. Our goal is not to move them off where they aren't right in the center of town, because we want to get them used to coming to the center of town where most of these shops are. So it's something we play with there, but there is a larger issue here as we're doing art festivals and as we're doing Festival of the Vine. We have these four major festivals in which we make decisions usually starting a year ahead of time to sign contracts with people and so forth. And so we try and understand what will be the positive and negative, but we don't wait till the last minute to do these kinds of things either. So we do have to have maybe a discussion about what are some alternatives or how can we get them to park in the parking deck and some other things that will be more feasible maybe for some of the businesses in town. But those are the things we discuss in doing this kind of planning too. So we're not insensitive to it.
I just wanted to bring something up. I don't know if the aldermen are kind of thinking about this, but on Campbell, we just put in a new parking lot, and I found out from Gene here that it was 26 spaces, which just happens to be somewhere around there. So it just happens to be the 26 that you're losing off the street. So maybe in all essence it may be a wash. You wouldn't, even though they might have a problem that the 26 on the street are being not used, but there is the 26 in the new parking lot. So I think we should take a chance on it. Any more questions? Yes, Alderman.
Yes, I agree with Mr. Cummins' figures on the 13 retailers who were negative towards the bicycle race and the nine or so that didn't think it was a problem. But we have a different group of people operating this particular race, the Soapbox Derby. And we have local people involved in contrast to that bike race. And I think that there's that's a big factor. I also had some personal experience at a younger age with the Soapbox Derby, and have experienced the joy of a close friend of mine making it all the way to Akron. And those are great things to see. And the Soapbox Derby on 2nd Street, I think, for this year will be a great location. And I think we'll find that there won't be that many difficulties with parking, especially with the new parking lot.
I hate to say this, but those cars did have round wheels, right?
You can't feed us those straight lines.
I couldn't resist it.
Yes, and the winner actually became the winner of the Heisman Trophy. You want to top that one? Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Red Grange? No, that wasn't in Red.
Guy by the name of Dawkins. Yeah.
Okay. Any questions? Any further questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Let the record show one nay. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is to recommend approval of the draft resolution to authorize publication of the update of the City of Geneva zoning maps.
And there's nothing that worries.
Nope, I'm in. Oh, sorry. I skipped item C. The budget amendment. So I'm looking for a motion to approve the resolution authorizing execution of the fiscal year 2012-2013 budget amendments.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Alderman Marks, second by Alderman Vogelsberg. Do we have any questions? Alderman Marks?
Probably. Mary, you can answer this. The 200 accounts, that's TRICOM, correct? I mean,
that's
I'm just
correct.
Trying to get a feel for and then
yes.
That's really not our budget. I mean, that's really we have to approve them. And then the 100
and their
accounts,
board has already approved
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and the 100 accounts are mostly, that's just the overtime.
Overtime.
And then the machinery is realistically just making those, buying that Cisco fiber. And we originally agreed to pay for that all up front, and that's why it's
right.
There twice.
Exactly.
That's what that is. Okay. All right. And so that $192,500 is really going to be reimbursed by the school, and that's why it's called reimbursed expense.
Right.
I just wanted to
right.
clarify that, so that's all. Thank you.
Welcome.
I should have asked that earlier.
Yes, Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I might just add that although I'm not an expert and the police and fire chiefs are not here, the wireless 911 upgrade is a very important upgrade to the whole TRICOM system.
True.
This was anticipated and indeed funded. But this was a question of getting in line and putting in contracts to buy equipment for Motorola.
Excuse me, Alderman Brown has the floor.
While the whole 911 upgrade was still evolving, so this is just some extra equipment that's needed. But the whole point of the enhanced 911 is that cell phones and text messages and everything else will now be available the same way a home phone is. So if you text from a car, it'll automatically pop up on their screens exactly where you are, etc. It'll be triangulated by towers. This is a very interesting upgrade of the whole response system of our first responders, and the fact that it was not properly costed in the first place is just the fact that this whole thing is evolving as they're understanding the full scope of what's needed. As you understand, the private world of telecommunications is evolving more rapidly than a government has trouble keeping up with, but we are trying to keep up.
And just that comment, it was obsolete, whatever you said.
Already obsolete.
Already, yeah.
Yes, and there will be, it appears, extra people joining TRICOM, which will help keep the expenses down. So TRICOM, I think, is doing a wonderful job of trying to keep our expenses minimum on having a really first-class first responder system in place. So. The board did approve this unanimously at the TRICOM board meeting.
Thank you. Mrs. McKittrick.
I just wanted to clarify for the audience's benefit. We carry TRICOM's budget within our budget because they are not a standalone government entity. So legally, we must carry it, or one of the three cities that we partner, the other two cities that we partner with, must carry parts of or the whole TRICOM budget. But there is a separate board that approves those budget expenditures and revenues that come in. So I just wanted to explain that. Even though it's within our budget, it's a separate board that approves those expenditures.
Yes, although the reason we have to approve it is because we pay a substantial fraction. There's something approximately one-third. It's actually slightly less than that because St. Charles is bigger than us. But we have to approve it because, indeed, in the end, we are playing a substantial fraction of this. But we are certainly... we're paying our fraction of the services that TRICOM provides to Geneva. So
right,
in
and
the
they,
end,
and they
we
could
are responsible
not.
For the money. Even though there's another board that's approving it, we do have to approve our fraction.
Right, and they could not approve their own budget by themselves because they're not a government agency.
Right.
Right.
So just wanted to explain that to everyone.
It is proper and correct for the council to question anything they see come up under the TRICOM budget because, indeed, we're paying our... I forget what the number is this year, 30% of the total does come right out of our hide. But indeed, I think we get at least that amount of service back. TRICOM appears, I've been on the board only a year now, they appear to be a very well-run, very lean, mean agency. So I would recommend that we vote for this. Thank you
for your insight. Is there any other questions or comments? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Record show unanimous. Item E. Looking for a motion to approve the draft resolution authorizing publication of the updated City of Geneva zoning map.
So moved.
Moved by Alderman Marks.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Singer. Any questions or comments? I see Mr. Unsh in the audience. I assume so. Housekeeping, I was reminded. Yes?
I wonder if I'd, if Mr. Unsh should show the kindness of duplicating this map for me in that color, because I'm too cheap to have a colored printer at my home.
I think I can do that for him. I have,
okay,
I printed
we can
out
make
a
sure, we'll make sure
you have one?
Copies of that map.
Yeah. So if you could provide one of those for me, I'd appreciate it very
Absolutely.
Much.
Here.
You want to borrow a couple of crayons, Ron?
Yeah.
Here.
I've only got yellow and blue left.
There you go.
Thank you.
I don't know if you
could
read it,
so
but
I can see
it
without
yeah, I know.
My glasses.
We all are challenged in
Thank
that
you.
Respect. Any other comments? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Record show. Unanimous. Now we're on to E. Looking for a motion to, recommend a draft ordinance for a sign variance at 1800 Averill Road to allow two freestanding signs on a single zoning lot.
Move approval.
Second.
Alderman Hill makes the motion. Alderman Vogelsberg makes the second. Any other questions? Any questions? Comments? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. That's unanimous. Moving on to F. Just a moment. Let me get my place here so I can speak intelligently or close there too. Looking for the motion for the to consider the contract agreement for technical services with Dixon Engineering Inc. in the amount not to exceed $20,105. Do I hear a motion?
Move approval.
A unanimous, rousing, enthusiastic motion from Alderman Maladra, seconded by Hill. Any questions? Alderman Singer?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chairman. Dick, was this, as I see that this, the estimated cost had already been budgeted for, this was apparently included in the original contract agreement upon its being painted. Is that what happened?
Well, it was in the original budget. If you wouldn't mind if I could kind of explain my reasoning for bringing this forward. Back when the original budget was approved for the tower painting.
Yep.
Roughly a year ago. department, we went ahead and contacted Dixon Engineering for not only the inspection engineering, but to engineer the entire project. So we wanted them to provide bidding services along with the technical services as proposed here in the packet. They came back with a estimate proposal of $65,000 for both towers. I thought that was out of the range of our budget. So what I proceeded to do was go ahead and take care of the specs and bidding in-house. I went ahead and took care of that. When I went ahead and talked to some professionals as far as putting things in that packet, what I should include, what I should not include, any recommendations that they had, the one recommendation that they had was to make sure that we include some sort of engineering for the construction inspection of the tower painting. We went back and forth with Dixon Engineering to lower their engineering costs, and we went ahead out and got the contract with the tower painting. We got that all taken care of in-house. This was the one item I was so concerned about because I did not want to look back on it 5 years down the road and have it peeling, have it whatever. I was very concerned about the aesthetic look of it. So I think that this is one thing based on the recommendations by Batavia, who I talked to, who had three towers recently done. Dan Watson at Rempe Sharp Engineering, who has done multiple towers within the area, who said the one thing you do not want to skimp on is the construction engineering specifications or the construction engineering to make sure that they're doing what they need to do properly. You don't want to skimp on that. So that's why after negotiations with them, we finally came down to a contract for just the Logan Avenue tank. What I want to do is have our guys at the water treatment plant watch the inspection process to be able to do the in-house inspection of the Kirk Road Tower. So I've reduced the cost from $65,000 down to $20,000 to be able to do this, to make sure that we have done our due diligence and that this is what I feel comfortable with as far as making sure that this project moves forward and is done right.
Bob, I'm not challenging your integrity on this issue, but I would think that this process would have been part of the bidding process.
The bidding
in the total cost.
No, the inspection process would have been totally separate from bidding out the painting contract.
I see that now.
Right, because you don't want to have the painter saying, "Fine, we'll go ahead and get our own inspectors," because that's.
So you have checks and balance of process.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
exactly.
Fine.
I just wanted to explain the entire process because
yeah,
I know that
fine.
There's been
I
questions all
that.
Along in the entire painting project.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. Thank
sure.
you, Madam Chairman.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your mention of you want the tower to look good segues into my point that I would like to make for the benefit of the audience here tonight and the audience on TV. I've had a number of inquiries from neighbors about what's going on at Logan Avenue.
Sure.
There's two temporary towers erected, and people are wondering what's happened, and indeed, you were kind enough, your department, to respond and point out that they are temporary towers so that the cell phones, users, et cetera, can relocate during the painting. But then after the painting's all done and the tower looks sparkling brand new, the temporary towers will be removed. Is that correct?
That is totally correct.
And it will look beautiful when it's
it
finished.
Will. It
Thank
will.
You.
And actually, I kudos to the cellular contractors. They've been very cooperative.
Thank you. Any other questions?
People should not see a break in their service.
I can't control that.
If they do, they should contact their cell phone operator.
Yes.
think that's safe. Is there anything, any other questions? Any questions from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Moving on, item G, recommend draft resolution authorizing easement agreement at 705 East State Street for electric cable replacement.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Hill, seconded by Alderman Singer. Any questions for Mr. Buffington? Comments? Anything from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The record show it's unanimous. Item H, purchase. Recommend draft resolution authorizing bid award and purchase of primary cable in the amount of $43,972.20 for Fabian Parkway Bridge primary cable.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Marks makes the motion. Alderman Singer seconded. Another item for question for Mr. Buffington. I see none. Is there anybody from the audience? Seeing none, hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those any opposed? Let the record show it's unanimous. Moving along to item I, authorize the mayor to declare 1998 veneer, I guess, trencher, as surplus.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion. Alderman Vogelsberg makes the second. Hey, ladies first.
Ladies first.
Any questions? And I'm assuming that this surplus item will go be available for anybody to find on our website or however it's being handled.
We're going to put it out on iBid.
Okay. Excuse me. iBid. I knew there was something that we did, but I didn't know what it was. So iBid is where we're going. Any other comments? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Let the record show it's unanimous. Item J, another surplus item. Authorize the mayor to declare 1996 55-foot bucket truck as surplus.
Move approval.
Alderman Hill makes the motion, seconded by Alderman Singer. Any other comments or questions from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Record show unanimous. J. I'm sorry? K. Why do I keep doing that? K. Item is to a motion to reject all the bids for the three reel wire pulling trailer.
So moved.
Motion by Alderman Brown, seconded by?
Second.
Alderman Singer. I'm assuming that this was just because there was only one bid?
Well, there were three.
Oh, there were three? No.
One bid.
That's what I thought. So we're going to rebid somewhere along the line?
We are evaluating that.
Okay. Any other questions? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Record show, it's unanimous. I can turn to page. Item L, recommend draft resolution requesting assistance and participation by Illinois EPA for environmental conditions within 500-800 East State Street. Do I hear a motion by Alderman Maladra?
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Cummings. Any questions? Any questions from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Record show unanimous. Moving on to the last item on our agenda is to recommend draft ordinance amending Title IV, Chapter 19, paren business and license regulations, horse-drawn carriage regulations, and a paren, adding wagon and trolley regulations.
So move.
Second.
Alderman Singer makes the motion. Alderman Hill makes the second. Is there any questions on this? We did get some additional information included in our packet and on the dais regarding this. So, Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The one question I had to do with the question of same-day inspection. We do have a permit that allows a permit for a single-day use of a horse-drawn carriage, but it costs the person double if the carriage has to come into town to be inspected before the day of the use. Is there no same-day inspection allowed or available or possible?
Well, what we do is we try to do that by appointment. When they make their application, then we set up an appointment with the police department. Is that possible? Yes, but the risk of some of that is if you had...
It's a chicken and egg problem with the insurance and the making the contract and everything. It seems to me if I want to have a horse-drawn cottage for my granddaughter's wedding, and they're going to charge me double if the carriage has to come to town to be inspected the day before the wedding occurs... I'm going to back off and say no thank you.
Well, I'm not sure exactly about charging him double.
What I heard from some people was that if they have to bring the carriage to town to get it inspected, and can it be inspected on the same day?
That might be possible. The thing is, if you do it the same day and for whatever reason it doesn't pass and then you wouldn't have a
then you're
ability
in trouble.
To use
yeah,
it.
No, this is right. a real so chicken and egg problem here. And it seems to me that the problem would not be a problem if there was more than one vendor who had previously obtained city license. Right. But at the moment, there is only one vendor, and there's not.
It doesn't require that one vendor to do that.
I understand, but so far at the moment, this is a... by default, a restraint of trade, because anyone who wants to hire a carriage for a single day has no choice but to use the single vendor who's already approved.
No, that's incorrect. You could anybody that has a horse and carriage that would like to do the one day, they could apply for the one day permit, and then they need to have their carriage inspected, and they need a background. But
it's going to cost the person double because it's going to be a two-day carriage because they're going to charge them for the day it has to come here and be inspected. So that's the catch 22 of this whole thing.
I see.
Sort of a catch 22 here.
Yeah, but if you're a business and you do it, you know, a lot of these are going to have more than one event. You know, if they're, you know, they could then take it to another event.
No, I'm just saying that part of this, which I thought was good, we've enabled a one-day permit, which to me is nice because a lot of people can think of events, I don't know, 50th anniversary, who knows what, where it'd be kind of a nice little thing to add. But if they're going to get charged double because the company has to bring their carriage in to get inspected, they're going to be forced to go to the one carriage company that already has a valid permit. So what use is the one-day permit if it's sort of automatically going to cost everybody double to use it? It's not going to cost them just the $50 for the one-day permit, but it's going to cost them the extra trip for the carriage dealer to come and get inspected.
I guess you're right if it was only one time. If you only did one time, you did a special event and came to town. But if you never did another wedding, another birthday, another anniversary, you know, it's probably not that big of a business.
Yeah, I understand. It's just I was wondering if there was any way around this. I was just searching for a solution to this, what appears to be a somewhat of a catch-22 in the way it's set up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure we welcome any carriage operator to submit their application in, right? They don't have to necessarily have to have a date.
But then that's $100, and then they get a permanent.
Yeah.
And they would be able to do multiple events over a year in town. But if somebody goes to a new carriage person and says it's their first one, they are faced with working out $100 and hoping to get more business. Or saying, boy, you're going to have to pay me to take that extra trip to get inspected. So it's a catch-22, and I was just in my mind trying to think if there was an extra.
I guess we can look at that, but I think most carriage operators, you know, do more than one event and do more things around. So they're going to do maybe other communities. They're going to do festivals and fairs. So they're kind of moving in and through the community at one point or another. May not always be the case.
Certainly, but the public interest is served in having everybody who does in this business be inspected and be safe. But as I say, we have this sort of this catch-22 with the one-day permit that sort of makes it almost not very useful. almost useless.
Refresh my memory. It's for a year, correct? The safety inspection is for...
$100 one lasts for a year.
Yeah. If... Yeah, right. The
$100 one lasts for one day, but you have to come in a second day in most cases to get your carriage inspected.
Okay. I think they,
I don't remember that.
I think the full is $150 for a year.
Oh, and that gives you the whole year. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have to, in your own mind, think I'm going to get three events before you were willing to...
But if your carriage passes one time,
I understand.
Then that carriage... Okay.
No, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. And
so the inspection is separate from the permit.
Right.
Correct.
So you can pay your $150 for the permit to operate and get inspected once. Or you can pay a less fee for the one-day permit to operate and still get inspected once. But then if you come back a month later, you don't need to get inspected.
Right.
So I don't see the problem. It's not really described.
Okay.
Do you have your microphone on, Alderman Malaja?
Yes, I do.
I thought you did.
It's not possible for the people. Well, I can see the problem with the same day inspection because what happens if it fails and then the person is
right.
is out big bucks probably. There's insurance involved in the
and we are doing
part of the carriage operator, presumably.
Right.
We require that, right? We require they show proof of insurance?
Yes, insurance, and then we're doing background checks on them. So they have to do a... They have to do an application prior to the inspection anyway, but right, whether they're present.
It sounds to me like the $50 one is almost moot because any operator who decides they're going to do it would just have to say, well, I hope I get more business and buy the 1 year.
Right. And we do have to provide the safety element because...
Yes, no, I understand that. I'm not arguing that we... I was trying to think if there was some way to do a lesser inspection on the day of a single event, but... I'm getting nowhere. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
And if it was a Saturday or Sunday, I don't know if they had overtime. I have no idea. But anyway, somebody had their hand up?
I did, but I will. I've pulled it down.
Okay.
I'm as confused as Alderman Brown is, but that's all right.
Any questions from the audience? Yes, you can step up to the microphone and give us your name and address. Who you're with.
Hi, I'm Mary Agnes Zelmer, and I live at 418 South 6th Street. I think that this is a really good idea. I hire carriages in town for events, but I do think there's that inspection. If it would be possible to have a same day, it might be very helpful, because in order for a carriage company to give up half a day to come to Geneva and get inspected, which I think is appropriate, it's going to cost around $500 because they're taking up a carriage and a half day of their time and one man and then mileage to get here. So it really becomes a financial issue for a non-for-profit like myself to be able to have the carriage rides, and we would have to suspend them for the coming festival in the fall because it's going to add a lot of money.
Thank you.
But then isn't there a risk you bear if the person fails the inspection on the same day as your event?
Well, no, because we only deal with
people you know ahead of time.
That I have dealt with for 6 years that have four carriages. And he has agreed that if he were to come out 2 hours early before the carriage rides began and he failed inspection, he would have another. He has four carriages and not all of them are operable. Now, if he failed and didn't have a carriage available, then we would then take action against him. So he knows that. I've dealt with him for many years. And
even if
you guys have it mitigated.
Yeah. Even if it's same day, you have to remember he still has to show proof of insurance. So
absolutely. And he should. And he would prior. We provide the city 2 weeks prior with all of our vendors' insurance and our own. So that goes without question.
So presumably he wouldn't show up on the same day for a same-day inspection, paid all his insurance and everything else, and be bringing a substandard carriage into town, presumably, because...
And he never has, so I don't think he would
if
now.
If you're carrying insurance on your carriages and everything, my
moot,
guess is you keep them up to date.
The inspection's
Okay, right. Thank you.
I would just point out the requirement of insurance means you're not dealing with a fly-by-night outfit, presumably. Insurance is not cheap.
We can ensure bad things.
Can you give us some insight into how the inspection is done? Is it done by the police department?
It's done by the police department. We work.
And
with
have
them.
You spoken to them on doing it the same day or?
It's possible. What we said, I think it's a matter of scheduling time with a police officer. You know, to be there on the day that they have, so they have to make sure that somebody is there at the appointed time. But I guess the only problem is just at risk. You know, if you go there and it doesn't pass. You know, and you've advertised free rides, and you know, it doesn't pass. If people are interested in doing that sort of – but the other part of it is, when I think about this, I'm not doing all the licensing. After they pass the inspection, they come back, and Gene issues a license. So if this is, you know, Saturday, I think that's part of the procedure in doing a lot of this is –
But
is,
let's not let the paperwork stand it. What we're trying to do is okay. Be safe and make sure we have an insured, competent driver, and we should be able to arrange the paperwork and the bureaucracy. That shouldn't be the hang-up. The hang-up is whether the carriage is safe, whether the person carries the proper insurance.
And does the other cities recommend, force someone to have an inspection too? And if they've had an inspection with another city, isn't...
Other cities have inspection process. I don't know necessarily about their one-day permit process.
And there's no, like, overall organization that has inspection records or something?
No. It's really a city-by-city. It varies, you know, the different requirements. Ours are, I'd say, middle of the road. I think there are some that are much more extensive than ours, and there's others that are less extensive.
Okay. Alan, do you have anything to add?
I just want to make a comment. I'm sorry this came up at the last minute. We tried to do our homework. We sent it out in advance to the licensed carriage operator that we have now. Did not hear from her. We did ask Mary Agnes to weigh in, and I understand this came up this afternoon, and I apologize that it's last minute. The question on the table is, can the inspection be done the day of? And sure, that sounds like it's plausible and it's feasible. I think the question is it going to be a Saturday? Is it going to be overtime for police department? And if it's overtime, then that's another issue.
Increase the fee.
Mary, did you have anything else to add?
Sunday. It could be Sunday.
It could be a Sunday,
but
right?
We know how to book bill for that, so that's not
But
really
we can add, increase the fee for that, can't we?
We know exactly how to bill for that, correctly.
Well, we probably need to build that in.
Yep.
I mean, that may be
So what is the pleasure of the council? Do they want staff to include this information before it comes to council, or?
Well, as the one who started this discussion, may I suggest that this is only a COW meeting, so we look at it this week before the city council meeting, and if there is a way this can be arranged, and maybe it requires a few more words to be added in terms of paying the necessary, if it turns out to require some overtime or whatever, or resolving the paperwork issue somehow, you know, the permit can be issued ahead of time with the provision that it has to pass the police inspection. There must be a way of handling it, and I would like, if you could answer the question at the meeting next week, fine, I'm willing to vote for it tonight.
And I did talk to Eric Passarelli this afternoon, and he apologized that no one could be here from PD, and he said someone could be here next week if you wanted. There's no urgency that this has to be passed tonight and in the next cycle. When this was passed last year, just like with the pedicab, we said that we would do a one-year review.
And you
so
had
that's
the trolleys
where we're at.
And
right. We're ahead of the schedule for the season. So I think it's a valid thing. We'll research it and we'll bring it back.
I think, on the whole, it's a document that I support. As I say, if there's just a way you can get back to us next week on this one little catch-22 I may or may not have discovered.
Yeah, it's not a specific question.
Someone else discovered for me.
It's not a specific question I asked Chief Mexen. I'm more than glad to do so, and we'll bring it back.
Right. Thank you. Okay. That's, I do support it now, Madam Chairman.
Dorothy?
Yes.
I agree with Alderman Brown. I think that that we ought to make it as easy as possible to have the inspections provided by the police department and be able to get a safety sticker for that day that the carriage is here.
The only thing is we're trying to, I'm trying to determine how to, if we should accept the motion the way it is, and wait for Ellen or staff to modify it before the next council meeting, or to table it to a date certain, and I don't know if that would.
Madam Chairman,
Okay, apparently staff can address this before city council.
Good.
So we'll just vote for it. And do we need to have some sort of caveat in here stating? Okay.
Do you need a vote at all then?
We'll need to vote on this issue, but then I wanted to make sure that if there was any amendments or anything that we needed to make, we should make it. But
if the motioner will accept
Mrs. McKittrick.
An addition to the motion that says provision that staff respond to the question about same day.
Does the
just respond? They may say yes or no, but
Mr. Singer, who made the motion? Mr. Singer and Mr. Hill.
Yes.
You agree with that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I guess.
Are we going to put anything there in the cost also? I mean, if there's additional cost. I mean, we're just talking about the same day. But I think we have to put some wording in there for the additional cost.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be added into the section that includes the same day sticker, presumably,
right.
If the staff finds a solution to the problem.
So everybody's clear?
Mm-hmm. Just wanted to clarify.
Any other questions or comments?
So I have a question. If this passes, is it on the omnibus next?
No.
Okay, good.
We will not put this on the omnibus.
You can say
no,
nay.
We
and
make sure.
Yeah, it'll be make
that's
sure.
That was a good question, yeah.
Madam Chairman, I'll vote nay.
What's your microphone on, though? What's your microphone on, though, Alden?
Madam Chairman, I'll vote nay just so that it does correctly appear on the agenda next week. Even though I support it as it stands.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
One nay. Oh, two nays.
Sure, first board's got to stay together.
Okay, although it wasn't necessary, it makes it legal, I guess, or whatever. Moving right along, item five is new business. Does anybody have new business from the dais? Nope. Anybody from the audience? Now's your chance. Anybody want to say anything? Okay. The next upcoming Committee of the Whole is March 11th, and I'm looking for a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Hill, seconded by Alderman Marks. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good night. Thank you, everyone.
We're not gonna meet.